You were finished, Ms. Webb, Mr. Godwin.
I promise I'll be much shorter. I just have one issue for your consideration this morning, and that is a wastewater agreement. This is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the King Farm Industrial Park, Phase 1A Agreement Number 902. The developer here is Mr. Robert Ruggio of Wilmington, Delaware. The location for this is on the east side of County Road 321, Park Avenue, Truck Route 9, and the west side and adjacent to the Sussex County Airport. This will be part of the Sussex County Air Park sanitary sewer system, servicing 4 warehouses and 11 contractor condominium buildings. These are commercial uses, not residential. The sewer will go to and potable water will come from the Sussex County Air Park systems. There is a separate utility service between Georgetown Air Park Center, LLC, and Sussex County in regards to water and sewer services, service fees, sorry. We have approvals from our engineering department as well as from DENREC, and we're expecting a construction period of 80 days with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $43,102.50, with a proposed construction cost of $287,350. This will essentially hook up the utilities to the King Farm Industrial Park.
Okay, any questions before Mr. Godwin reads the motion? Please.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 902, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Georgetown Air Park LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in King Farm Industrial Park, located in the Sussex County Air Park Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, please.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the agreement read by Mr. Godwin. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Hopefully, as our economy grows at the airport, we'll have the utilities and now the facility ready for them. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Morning. We have several items of old business this morning. First one being conditional use number 1847, the application of Brian D. Butler. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for automotive metal fabrication and welding to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.06 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Sand Hill Road, also known as Road 569, 1,700 feet southwest of Road 404, also known as Seashore Highway. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 22nd of 2010 and provided the following. In the report you were provided with on in your mail on Friday, in this application, we received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department. We received a letter from area resident in support of the application. Mr. Butler was present and gave testimony on July 22nd. The commission deferred action for further consideration. On August 12th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1847 for Brian D. Butler for an automotive metal fabrication and welding shop. Based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact upon traffic. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the applicant has stated that in addition to automotive repairs, he performs welding and repair work on farm equipment, which would benefit the area agriculture. Four, the use will provide a service to Sussex County residents to meet the expanding need for metal fabrication and welding services. Five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the final site plan shall show all required parking areas. B, there shall not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automotive parts, equipment, tires, or other materials used to repair cars or agricultural equipment. C, no vehicles for sale will be displayed on premise. D, the only repair work allowed in the shop will be for automobiles, trucks, and farm equipment. E, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. until noon on Saturdays. F, there may be one lighted sign on the property advertising the business not to exceed 32 square feet in size or on either side. G, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. H, final site plan shall specifically show the area that is the subject of the conditional use, which the area shall be at least 3/4 acre in size. I, the area for the dumpster shall be relocated to the rear of the garage building and shall be screened from view. The location of the dumpster area shall be shown on the final site plan. J, as stated by the applicant, all customer vehicles will be stored inside at night. And K, the final site plan shall be the subject of to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried with 4 votes. With Mr. Johnson not participating to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0 with 1 not voting. That's all I have, Mr. Chairperson.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
Did Mr. Butler request that it only be made to 5? Is that the only reason you had
the hours that are a reference are the hours offered by the applicant?
Just wondering why we, you know, here we go again, managing time. I don't know why it's, you know, Monday through Friday and only half day on Saturday. I personally went and looked at this place and I don't see where it ever bothers to have it all day on Saturday and 5 or 6 o'clock at night. I mean, it just doesn't.
Mr. Cole, you're often one to suggest.
Yeah, I'm not real concerned about hours of operation. It's difficult to enforce. And now, if it was, you know, a lot of residential properties nearby or something, I can understand it, but I don't think this one has that situation where there's a...
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying. So in this case, I don't want to say that I'm for it all the time, but
yeah, right.
This seems something we wouldn't want somebody to be sending an inspector out to, you know, try to check times of operation. Right.
If there's no objection, we'll delete number E in conditions, which references the time. Anything else from council? Mr. Moore, can you read the title with the amended condition?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive metal fabrication / welding to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, containing 2.06 acres, more or less, subject to the following conditions. A, the final site plan shall show all required parking areas. B, there shall not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automobile parts, equipments, tires, or other materials used to repair cars or agricultural equipment. C, no vehicles for sale will be displayed on the premises. D, the only repair work allowed in the shop will be for automobiles, trucks, and farm equipment. A new E, which is there may be one lighted sign on the property advertising the business not to exceed 32 square feet in size on either side. F, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, the final site plan shall specifically show the area that is the subject of the conditional use, which that area shall be at least 3/4 acre in size. H, the area for a dumpster shall be relocated to the rear of the garage building and shall be screened from view. The location of the dumpster area shall be shown on the final site plan. I, as stated by the applicant, all customer vehicles will be stored inside at night. J, the final site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I entertain that motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1847, the application of Brian Butler. Any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Please give your reasons, Mr. Wilson.
I'm still looking here at this vehicle parked outside at nighttime. That if somebody should pull their car up at nighttime, want to have it worked on the next day, does this mean if we really want to follow this law up, does that mean we have to get up, he has to get up and go put the car up?
It was offered by the applicant for security of the vehicles.
I just understand that, why he'd ask for that.
You get a chance to ask him next time you see him.
Okay. If he's happy, so am I.
Good. Call for the vote, Ms. Dever.
Yes, and based on the reasons given by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and with the conditions are very thorough, and I see no harm to the community.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, I plan the planning zone.
Mr. Cole.
Yes, I concur with the Planning and Zoning's reasoning and the amended item also, so yes.
Mr. Vincent.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to have any adverse effect on neighboring properties. The condition stipulations, I think, that they placed on there are fine, so I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. It's an appropriate application with the condition. Motion carried.
The next item is conditional use number 1855, the application of Double R Holdings, LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for general offices and medical and professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.4 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Plantation Road, also known as Road 275, 2,100 feet northwest of Route 54. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 9th. Deferred action on the public hearing. The commission received an exhibit booklet, which was also received by council during their public hearing. The applicants also provided an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation and sketch plan report. We received comments from DLDOT, the Office of State Planning Coordination, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department. The commission and council were also provided with a copy of the original ordinance number 1732 for conditional use of 1573, a previous application for the same site that had become void for lack of construction. Robert Burton of Double R Holdings, LLC, was present with James Fuquay, attorney with Fuquay, Urey, and Willard, and Gary Couples, for professional engineer with ECI, all gave testimony. At the conclusion of their testimony, Mr. Fuquay submitted a proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. There were no parties present in support of the application. Lyndon Jackson was present in opposition and gave testimony. Alicia Miller of the Metropolitan Community Church of Rehoboth Beach, Incorporated, an adjoining property owner, was present and basically asking questions, did not object or support the application. As I stated, on September 9th, the commission deferred action. September 23rd, the commission again deferred action for further consideration. On October 14th of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1855 for Double R Holdings, LLC, for medical and professional offices, based on the record and for the following reasons. One, this application previously was approved as ordinance number 1732 for conditional use number 1573 by the council in 2004. This conditional use became void for reasons including the death of Ross Harris, professional engineer and owner of the project, and a person responsible for obtaining all necessary permits. Two, the site is within a development district according to the county land use plan. Three, this application is for professional offices, including doctor's offices. This location is appropriate for such a use, given the close proximity to the BB Health Campus. Four, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or Five, the use is of a public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area and the county. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, the offices shall be limited to professional medical care or other services incidental to such a use. The offices may also be used for professional services such as law offices, accountant offices, engineering offices, and similar professions. The project shall not be occupied by general contractors, retail operations, or other uses inconsistent with the residential nature of the neighboring properties. Two, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on any neighboring properties or plantation roof. Three, the use shall comply with all DLDOT regulations and requirements. Four, the project shall be connected to the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District as soon as that service is available to the site. In the interim, the project may be served by an on-site sanitary sewer system in accordance with DNREC regulations. Five, the site plan shall be designed so that the buildings are configured with a residential appearance. As part of the site plan review, front, side, and rear elevation plans shall be submitted to the commission to confirm the residential appearance and character of the buildings. Six, all parking shall be relocated to the rear or the interior of the property and screened from view from Plantation Road and neighboring residential properties. In addition, there shall be a landscape buffer area along the northern and southern boundaries of the property. Seven, hours of operation shall be limited to 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturday. Eight, one lighted sign shall not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side shall be permitted. Nine, the final site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. 10, if approved by council, the conditional use shall become null and void unless substantially underway within 3 years of council approval. There's a motion and a second and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Wheatley not voting since he was not in attendance during the public hearing. When the council had public hearing on September 28th, there was a recommendation that as part of you had two motions. One of the motions referenced that there were several objections relating to traffic conditions and traffic along Plantation Road and at the intersections of Plantation Road, Shady Road, Plantation Road, Postal Lane, Plantation Road, Robinsonville Road, and Plantation Road and Cedar Grove Road. Parties stating objections to the application referenced concerns that the original DLDOT comments relating to this application were based on a 2003 traffic impact study prepared by Orth Rogers and Associates Incorporated and not a more current study. The council was advised that the DLDOT had granted approval of the entrance plan for this project on October 21st of 2009. The applicant stated that DLDOT would grant a renewal of the same entrance plan approval if the conditional use is approved. Council questioned if DLDOT felt that the 2003 traffic impact study provided enough data to warrant issuance of an entrance approval or if it would be necessary that additional traffic studies be required. With that, I wrote to Mark Cotte, subdivision engineer with Department of Coordination with DLDOT, and asked for a response. On October 27th, 2010, I wrote to Mr. Cotte again, requesting that response. On November 15th of 2010, we did receive a response. And just in summary, they responded that their original recommendations are still valid and that DLDOT would not anticipate changing those recommendations with the preparation of a new study. And DLDOT indicated that based on the information provided and other information normally provided in the entrance design process, the original study provides the necessary information for entrance approval and DLDOT would reissue that approval today on that date. So DLDOT felt that the one thing they did add in their recommendation was that it was suggested that an additional condition be provided that the applicant shall participate in the funding of Plantation Road projects as set forth in DLDOT's letter of November 15th. So it's the guidelines within their letter. And the basis of it was just what I read. They asked that condition be a part of the condition of approval. That's all I have. Any questions?
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I got just an observation here. It appears from the engineering department that there's not going to be any kind of central sewer at this time.
Right.
That's correct.
And because there's parcels in between it that aren't hooked up, and there's no plans to do anything, so it's...
Well, not that there's no plans to do it. No, nobody from engineering here to respond, but the recommendation of the engineering department made reference to... Find it.
Well, do we know if they have suitable soils for an on-site system?
They had originally, it was intended to be a septic system, and it was an approved system.
Okay, and then the question would be, they couldn't then put the all three buildings wouldn't fit with a on-site system, right?
That would be totally up to Denrick.
Okay.
But what would happen is that, yeah, if you granted a conditional use, then they've got to go to all the agencies to get all their approvals before we consider the final approval.
Okay. No, my only concern was there is the issue of traffic. Mr. Jackson there, who's lived there many years, has brought up many times. And as the different grows, so I was going to maybe propose that instead of three buildings, because they're going to have to do an on-site system, which will require drain fields and a certain amount of land, that we ought to limit it to two buildings at this time. And then, because central sewer service is probably way down the road. And
the one condition related to that was number four, that the project would be connected when the sewer is available.
Right, right.
And that the applicant in the interim could use an on-site sanitary sewer system.
Between now and then.
Denrick regulations.
Right.
And Denrick would probably dictate whether they could build all three buildings or whether it would be limited to two.
Well, I was thinking maybe through the condition, I'm just throwing this out because of it is there was some concern, and there has been in numerous applications we've seen, that maybe limited to two buildings. And then when the sewer service becomes available, which is, again, like I said, because of the activity nowadays along that stretch, it could be a number of years, that when the sewer service becomes available, that then they could... make another application to expand on their conditional use for that third building. And then the council would have a better feel of what the impacts are and what else has happened in the area and how the state's addressing different things. And that could be, like I said, to get central sewer there, it could be a number of years from what I'm looking at. So anyway, I would propose that we limit the conditional use to two buildings at this time.
That motion?
Well, I was just, is there any kind of, anybody got any comments on it? I don't want to just throw out motions for the sake of motions, but it's a thought that it would lessen the impact on it this time.
Isn't that something that Denrick would tell the people they can, I mean, they're going to tell them what size the system's got to be, I assume.
Right, they're going to tell them what size the system is and what it can serve.
I understand.
Where it's going to have to be located.
That's exactly right.
Right, I understand all that. My concern, my thoughts are that is we limit it because, again, the testimony we've had many times along Plantation Road is because of traffic. And then there was also a lack of need expressed with some people because there's some any other buildings have been built and quite a bit of vacancies and stuff they've projected. Anyway, we could give the guy two buildings, project could get started. And then we would be able to look at a third building, and obviously if they're in the traffic problems existing or nothing's gotten worse and the sewer gets there, because there's no way they can put into parking three buildings and sewer and drain field on that side.
How do we know that?
Well, you can pretty much guess that, but I'm just saying.
So then Denrick would come back and say
that's a
third building won't fit. I mean, I assume they would come back and say that, right?
Well, we won't see that. I mean, I'm trying to react again to some of the traffic concerns and other things. We could back the project off, have the project go forward. It's not a yes or no. My concern is I've heard from the last few applications the cumulative effect of what we've been doing. We're not looking at. We're looking at each individual one. And this sets another precedent for that vacant land that's on that side of Plantation Road. There's quite a bit
for more commercial applications as we bring more of these projects in. So I just thought if we could limit this one at this time. Doesn't mean they can't come back 4 or 5 years down the road and say, you know, it's been a success. We haven't had any negative impacts. And basically, we're just cautiously moving along as opposed to keep approving everything that comes in front of us. And
suppose Denrec comes back and says only one building will fit.
Well, that would. That,
then why don't we let Denrec design it?
Because we're in the land use business, not Denrec. Okay. I'm trying to take into consideration not so much the concern of the septic impact. I'm talking about basically limiting the number, the use on that site with traffic, et cetera, those impacts.
Okay.
And I may come back with traffic.
Yes.
I mean, I was the one to ask a question about the traffic study. And hearing DelDOT's answer, they have no concern about traffic. Well, they've told us the 2002 study is current today. Right. And they're in the traffic business, I assume. Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple ways you could look at it, or a couple ways you could do it. Do you want it? The question is, do you want to hear it again a couple years down the road? Some of you had already heard, and all they're doing is an expansion. Or do you want to consider approving it in phases, whereby you would limit it to first phase being two buildings and the other phase not be built until the sewer system is connected?
That would be another way to.
That way you wouldn't. I'm just saying that because that's just a way you wouldn't have to hear it again.
Right. I don't mind hearing it again. I mean, we have a number of people that have conditional uses, and down the road they come in for an amendment. That doesn't bother me. It would just get us a better feel of 5 years from now, what is the traffic situation? 5 years from now, what does Plantation Road look like? We don't know. And how is the state addressing some of those concerns?
No, I just asked that question if you want.
No, it is. No, it's a good way to look at it. You're right.
So if Mr. Cole were to make a motion just on this issue, mm-hmm. We need to put in the square footage of those buildings until they were proposed to be a certain size.
Right. I don't.
They're 8,100 square foot each.
Don't hear Mr. Cole.
I don't have the information or the expertise to be able to
figure out. It was 8,100 square foot.
I was just going to figure on their conceptual plan. I thought maybe they had square footages already.
It is. It was 8,100 square foot per building.
How much?
8,100.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't mind. I mean, that would be a number I would.
If you did that, you'd just take two 8,100 square foot buildings for this, based on this conditional use.
All right. Any other discussion, motions, observations?
Yeah.
Ms. Deaver.
This road is heavily traveled on weekends and is backed up on weekends for 9 months out of the year. And I don't know why they want to have Saturday business hours from 8 to 5 because nobody is going to be able to get there on Saturdays. It's just a very difficult situation on weekends. The road is practically not navigable on weekends with backups.
Mr. Lank, was any of that reflected in DelDOT's reports?
No, there's no reference. They basically responded that they've already granted entrance approval.
Their report is 7 years old.
I know, but they've granted entrance approval this last year, within the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And everything, they reviewed that same issue by granting that permit.
They're not looking at a cumulative effect.
No, typically they will grant a entrance permit when the county approves something. So,
Well, they didn't. They granted that permit based on the conditional use that was approved previously. That went void.
Right.
Any other discussions?
Well, when that was approved years ago, the Arbors at Cottagedale wasn't approved. The other two medical buildings weren't approved.
That's true.
So, I mean, there's tremendous cumulative effect that hasn't been taken into account.
Well, that was my concern or my thoughts on approving two buildings of what they propose at this time, and then because they're going to have to do some on-site system anyway, and then again readdress it. I don't think it's out of the realm of a way that the county could look at it, a good way to plan, because the traffic situation in weekends, I don't know if it's 9 months out of the year, but I'll tell you what, many weekends out of this 12-month period that we go through every year, it is bad. you can't move because Route 1 you can't move on, you can't move anywhere, and everybody's over on that road, and it's just bogged it down, and so we're just spreading. So
why do you think they want to build there in Georgia?
No, I'm just saying, Sam, I think from my knowledge of seeing things, how they're built and done and everything else, they can't, they got 3.5 acres, they have to do parking, they have to do all these other things, and plus an on-site drain field and system. They would probably can't build the 3 buildings anyway at this point. So I would just say, let's limit it to 2 and then let them reapply. And if there's no problems, there shouldn't be any problem, you know, getting it reapproved.
So anyway. You're talking about 0.5 acre for buildings.
Yeah.
So we still got 2.9 acres for parking and septic.
Well, there's also the thing called stormwater. There's a number of things that go into putting a commercial site. So,
right.
So anyway, the concern I would have is it would limit the impact on the traffic situation at this time.
Okay. Absent a motion to that effect or otherwise?
I'll make it a motion. I've debated it enough. I'll make the motion to limit the conditional use to 2 buildings. As proposed as by the applicant.
To 8,100 square foot building.
8,100 square foot.
Okay. That would be fine.
That's the motion. Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to limit the application to 2,8,100 square foot buildings. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
I vote no. Any other motions before we ask the attorney to read the title? Please, Mr. Moore.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for general offices and medical/professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 3.40 acres, more or less, subject to the following conditions. 1, the offices shall be limited to professional medical care or other services incidental to such a use. The offices may also be used for professional services such as law offices, accounting offices, engineering offices, and similar professions. The project shall not be occupied by general contractors, retail operations, or other uses inconsistent with the residential nature of the neighboring properties. 2, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so they do not shine on any neighboring properties or plantation road. 3, you shall comply with all DLDOT regulations and requirements. 4, the project shall be connected to the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District as soon as that service is available to the site. In the interim, the project may be served by an on-site sanitary sewer system in accordance with DENREC regulations. 5, the site plan shall be designed so that the buildings are configured with a residential appearance. As part of the site plan review, front, side, and rear elevation plans shall be submitted to the commission to confirm the residential appearance and character of the buildings. 6, all parking shall be relocated to the rear of the interior or the interior of the property and screened from view from Plantation Road and neighboring residential properties. In addition, there shall be a landscape buffer area along the northern and southern boundaries of the property. 7, hours of operation shall be limited to 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. on Saturdays. 8, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size per sign shall be permitted. 9, the final site plan shall be subject to the approval of Planning and Zoning Commission. 10, if approved by County Council, the conditional use shall become null and void unless substantially underway within 3 years of Council's approval.
What about that suggested condition from DLDOT? Can that be added? That the applicant participate in the improvements to take place on Plantation Road?
I'll second that.
Is that not something DLDOT already has the authority to do?
They've asked us to put it as a condition.
Excuse me, Ms. Deaver?
They have asked us to put it on as a condition.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to place that provision as a condition. Can Mr. Lang, can you give us the language for Mr. Moore?
Was the language, Mr. Lang, that applicant participate in DLDOT improvements to Plantation Road?
Bear with me a second. Find it again.
Mr. Fuqua put it in his letter too.
Yeah, well, Jim, yeah, it was in Mr. Fuqua's letter too, that's right. It basically states the applicant shall participate in the funding of plantation road projects as set forth in Delta's letter of November 15, 2010.
Okay, we will consider that condition number 11 as part of this motion. We've still got to vote on it. Correct, Steve?
Yes.
So that is part of it now?
No, we're going to vote on the number, that would be number 11 to require the language.
And that was in Mr. Fuqua's letter, correct?
Yes.
It was stated, and he was quoting what Delta's letter said.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Now what's this we're voting on?
That would be an addition
and
to
the additional
condition number three. Whatever was referenced.
No.
Okay, I suggested that it would be a number 11. You're suggesting, Mr. Lank, it would be best to be an add-on to number three.
It's referenced in Mr. Fuqua's letter. DelDOT did recommend that the applicant be required to participate in construction of certain pending road improvements projects on Plantation Road. It is suggested that this could be accomplished by the addition of the following language to condition number three, which is already referencing DelDOT.
Okay.
As recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that would include the wording, the applicant shall participate in the funding of Plantation Road projects as set forth in DelDOT's letter of November 15, 2010. That would be condition number three that says, presently, you shall comply with all DelDOT regulations and requirements.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, this motion basically replaces number three with specific language referenced in the DelDOT letter and agreed upon by the applicant's attorney, which requires them to participate in the improvement of Plantation Road.
That changed it. Okay.
Okay. Ms. Deaver continues to vote yes. Mr.
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Okay, now I'll entertain a motion to approve conditional use number 1855 with the conditions as modified by council.
So moved.
A second, please.
Yes.
I have a motion and a second to approve conditional use 1855. With the conditions as well as the modified number three condition. Any discussion? Ms. Deaver, and please give you the reason for your vote.
My vote is no. We had testimony that the traffic conditions on Plantation Road are difficult. The area has changed from farms to housing. The church is proposed in close proximity. That's going to create more traffic. Plantation Road's no longer a local road. The state's designated it as a Route 1 alternative. Traffic backups at Plantation and 24 Shady Road and Plantation are difficult. It's difficult to get out of McKenzie Way, a private street, onto Plantation Road due to traffic. Testimony is that questions the need for office space due to the recent approvals of the two professional medical offices along Plantation Road. Also, questioning the need for office space since BV Medical Health Campus is still offering office space in their facility, and that the current traffic impact study on being used is a 2003 study and should be updated, and there should not be any office hours on Saturdays. My vote's no.
Mr. Wilson?
My vote's yes, according to planning and zoning.
Mr. Cole?
Well, I'd like to state that, you know, the state agencies aren't, I do not have the same familiarity with traffic conditions as do the people who usually live and work and travel in these particular roadways, and especially this one. Plus, there's been additional projects, we've all acknowledged that, have been approved since the original traffic study. I do not oppose the use, but I feel that it would have been more appropriate to downsize the project, acknowledging that the traffic situation. And I also hope that the council maybe in the future will acknowledge these traffic issues with Plantation Road. But since my efforts to downsize failed, and I will support the application as considered with the conditions as amended, because the project will have to help subsidize and or fund some of the improvements that will be needed because of the situation. So.
Mr. Colvost, yes. Mr. Vincent?
I do share some of the concerns about the traffic, but I'm still a little befuddled, I guess. I did ask information about the traffic study, and DLDOT's response was that they were okay with the traffic study of 2003 being used today. So we rely on them for traffic studies. That's their job. With the recommendations of planning and zoning and the stipulations that were attached to it, and I especially feel better that we've added the idea where they've got to participate in funding improvements to that road, I vote yes.
I also share concerns that DLDOT is out of touch with land use in Sussex County and have advocated in the past that Sussex County accept and take more responsibility for the authorization and funding of our roads. In this case, I believe that the use proposed is of low impact. It will not generate the traffic that a retail commercial entity would. It will not have the impact on sewer that high density residential development would have. My vote is yes, with the conditions as modified. Motion carries.
Oh, we have two additional items that are relating to ordinance amendments. Before you in the packet on Friday, I submitted the commission's recommendations. I submitted a cover letter for dated December 1st, 2010. A copy of the minutes from October 12 before council. Several pages. Copy of the original draft ordinance for both applications, the variances and the conditional use. A copy of the letters from Roberta Hemrick received on November 23rd. A copy of a letter from John G. Walsh, also received on November 23rd. And a copy of a fax received from Patty Wall and dated November 24th with attachments. The first ordinance amendment is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 20, Roman numeral 24, 115-172G, relating to the conditional uses regarding manufactured homes. When the presentation before the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 23rd, the ordinance was summarized. Mr. Robertson made reference to the ordinance amendment. And there were six parties that made testimony into the record, and their comments are summarized. Mr. Robertson stated at the conclusion of the public hearings that this ordinance amendment has received a lot of discussion and that clarity may be necessary on some of the issues, and that we may need to address the difference between permanent and temporary handicap ramps. The commission deferred action for further consideration to allow the commission time to review the testimony and the minutes of the Manufactured Housing Committee meetings. On the 14th of October 2010, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment under old business. Mr. Johnson expressed some concerns about immediate removal of ramps when an emergency no longer exists. Robertson stated during the public hearing there was a lot of comments about more definition and clarity regarding ramps for emergency needs, that he has reviewed the record and would like to suggest some revisions that include clarification that the county is who granted the prior permit referenced in Section 13. That there was testimony from the audience about permits from home dealers, park owners, and the county, and who had ultimate authority. That for clarity, the ordinance needs to address the words temporary and for emergency needs. In section 14, that since this proposed section exempts such ramps from setback and lot coverage requirements for emergencies, the audience commented that it should state more clearly that it is for emergency purposes only. That he also suggests that a phrase requiring a doctor's note be the basis for the handicap ramp, that he suggests similar language to what currently exists in the code for medical hardship extensions, and that he suggests that the ordinance include a sentence at the end of section 14 requiring that the ramp be removed if the emergency need no longer exists, since the use was only intended to be temporary. Mr. Robertson offered the following reasons for consideration should the commission decide to recommend approval of this ordinance amendment. One, this amendment is a result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that included representatives from the county, park owners, and homeowners. Two, this amendment clarifies regulations regarding accessory buildings and manufactured home parks and adds code language addressing the construction, location, and dimensions of unenclosed steps, landings, and handicap ramps providing access to mobile homes, which had previously been subject to size and lot coverage limitations that were often unreasonable. Three, it is recommended that Section 2 of the ordinance creating a new subparagraph 13 of Section 115-172G of the Code be amended in the last sentence to read, an existing accessory building of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted by Sussex County, that's an aid, and if authorized by park management. As currently worded, it is unclear who may have granted the previous permit. Four, it is recommended that Section 2, creating a new subparagraph 14 of Section 115-172G of the Code, be amended to insert the word temporary prior to the words handicap ramps throughout that subparagraph, and by adding the words for emergency needs after the words handicap ramps in the first line of the subparagraph. A, it is recommended that the fourth sentence of new subparagraph 14 be amended so that it states as follows. Temporary handicap ramps may be permitted for emergency needs upon receipt of an affidavit from a doctor on an annual basis that an emergency situation exists and shall be subject to the approval of park management, the director, and the county's chief of building code. Five, it is recommended that a new sentence be added at the end of new subparagraph 14 to state, a temporary handicap ramp permitted under this subparagraph shall be removed if the need for it no longer exists. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission adopt a motion suggested by Mr. Robertson. There was a motion and second and carried with four votes to forward this ordinance amendment to County Council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the referenced amendments noted. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Ross not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. I believe Mr. Moore does have an attached for, I don't know if you can pass them down or not. We have the two ordinances redrafted utilizing those recommendations if the council's favorable, so you have a copy that's current based on this recommendation.
What did you just say?
We've taken the ordinance with Mr. Moore's office and drafted it so that it would show you just what it would appear to be as an amendment.
Okay.
Basically saying what Mr. Robertson recommended.
All right.
I know what I submitted to you last Friday was a lot of information, but it basically gave you everything that the commission recommended, Mr. Robertson's suggestions, what the council heard during public session, during the public hearings, and the comments from Bobby Hemrick and John Walsh and Patty Wall in response to the council's action. When the council reviewed it, they left the record open for 10 working days so that they could respond. That's why you received those three letters as part of the record.
And the 10 working days were up when?
They terminated on Wednesday at 4:30, the day before Thanksgiving, the 24th.
Mr. Wilson, have you a concern? The temporary
number five
handicap ramp will have to be removed if
possible.
Well, what
number five says?
There's temporary ramps and there's permanent ramps. Some people are permanently in need of a ramp, and those would have to meet setback requirements because, and typically they're a little bit larger. They're usually a little bit wider.
So a permanent one that meets
it would require they would meet setback requirements.
Asshole.
They chose to use a temporary ramp and they meet the setback requirement, it could be left permanent.
Okay.
could be left.
The only ones that are allowed to be temporary would be allowed to encroach into the setback requirements.
Gotcha.
Because it's a temporary need.
That's no big deal. At least the home makes the decision.
Yeah. Any other comments from council?
How does that work out with the older parks, like, was it Sea Air, that type of thing? Will this work in Sea Air?
Well, we think it will.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's recommended, some of the residents think it might not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And typically in that situation, not just Sea Air, but a couple of parks, if the shed's there, they feel it should be replaced, whether it had a permit or not, in some cases. Most of them had permits, probably, but I can't guarantee that without pulling every single lot for mm-hmm. what's got permits. And if the permit had been granted and it said it had to be a certain location, then it should have been right to start with.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a variance issue.
Right.
If they didn't have a permit, then it shouldn't be there.
Okay.
It's an issue that Mr. Cole's been working on quite a bit. Is the Sergeant of Arms going to go get him, or is he out for the day? Did Mr. Cole indicate if he wanted to come back?
I thought he said he was coming.
He was coming right back. Yeah.
Maybe would you want to discuss the second one while Mr. Cole's finishing up his business?
The second ordinance related to variances was an ordinance amendment, which is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 27, 115-211, relating to variances. Again, the ordinance was summarized on September 23rd before the commission, as it was before County Council on October 12th. Mr. Robertson gave some testimony. There were ten parties that spoke on in reference to this application for ordinance amendment, and they are all summarized in the comments of the other commission's report. On September 23rd, Mr. Robertson requested time to review this ordinance amendment and to discuss the ordinance amendment with the county attorney that drafted the ordinance or the document. On September 23rd, of 2010, the commission deferred action for further consideration and for Mr. Robertson to research the drafting of this ordinance amendment. On October 14th of 2010, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment under old business. Mr. Robertson stated that during the public hearing, there was a lot of comments about the ordinance amendment and that the intent of this ordinance amendment was primarily building separation and that there is a need to clarify the intent of the ordinance amendment. That he tried several times ways of inserting wording and found it difficult to do so that he has proposed to rewrite to insert references to separation and previously permitted by Sussex County and rearranging it so that the amendment makes sense. That since the intent is the same and the words are basically the same but in a different order, it does not require that the ordinance amendment be re-advertised and run through hearings again. The title wasn't changed. That's the biggest portion. So the title stayed the same. Mr. Robertson offered the following reasons for consideration should the council or the commission decide to recommend approval of the amendment. One, this amendment is a result of meetings and recommendations from a manufactured housing committee that included representatives from the county, park owners, and homeowners. Two, the amendment clarifies that a neighbor to a property that has received an approved variance for the location of an accessory structure does not need to apply for his or her own variance when he or she replaces their own accessory structure with one of the same size and as long as other setback requirements are met. Three, this recommendation is subject to the following suggestions. A, there is an apparent typographic error in section one. It should refer to section 115-211 and not 115-121. As currently worded. The heading of the ordinance correctly refers to section 115-211. B, council should consider inserting the words, and I quote, as previously permitted by Sussex County to the ordinance. This would make it consistent with the requirements of the ordinance amendment for conditional uses, manufactured homes. which allows a replacement of an existing accessory building, but only if it was previously permitted by the county. C, because this amendment still requires all setback requirements to be met and only avoids the need for a variance regarding building separation, this should be clarified. D, it is suggested that the amendment be redrafted to incorporate these changes so that it now reads as follows, and I quote, H, in a manufactured home park, if an adjoining site received a variance for building separation from Sussex County, no variance for building separation caused by the adjoining site's variance shall be required for the replacement of an existing accessory structure previously approved by Sussex County, as long as all setback requirements are met and the replacement structure is of the same size and on the same footprint. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission adopt the motion suggested by Mr. Robertson. Thereby, there was a motion and a second carried with 4 votes to forward this ordinance amendment to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the reference to amendments noted. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Ross not voting since he was not present during the public hearing. And again, as I stated after the first discussion, that has been redrafted to show just what the intent is in the ordinance amendment by Mr. Moore's office. So it just quotes H as proposed.
So where are we now?
I think we could. We have in front of us, Mr. Moore just passed down the final ordinance without the additional information. I believe I hear maybe a suggestion that we defer on this particular one. Mr. Wilson makes them. Excuse me.
The next week at least.
Mr. Wilson would like to take a look at this a little closer. With Mr. Cole being absent, I don't know that we have a problem with it.
We've been asked to defer on this and the other one, both of them. And one of the members of the new ad hoc committee has asked that they take a look at this before we pass it, before we vote on it.
Okay. Would you like that to be your motion?
Yes.
Okay. I have a motion to defer both of these ordinances and have the ad hoc committee with the new members
review these
ordinances. Mr. Wilson seconds. The floor is open for discussion. Mr. Vincent?
Before voting takes place, Mr. President, I have a concern. We've advertised these for public hearing. We've had the public hearing. We kept the public hearing open for a period of time for written comments. That period is now passed. And if we now send this back for other discussion, I think it would necessitate coming back to this with newly advertised ordinances. So if we take the motion, as you said, I think that that would probably be necessary.
Is it possible to simply reopen the record with a majority vote for a specific report from this committee as we do with agencies both in the county and the state?
Since the period has expired, I think that would be problematic. I would have to look at that further to see if that's the case.
Well, what if we just defer?
Okay.
On both of them.
We can defer. If you'll modify your motion to simply defer on both of those so that Mr. Moore can research what potential we have to put this back in the committee's hands until next week. Is that enough time, Mr. Moore?
Yes, I'll modify that.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Cole, we have a motion to defer both of these for 1 week so Mr. Moore can look at the legal potential of putting this back in the committee's hands with the new memberships for their review.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Well, since I wasn't here, I'll pass.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Ordinance is deferred, and we'll expect that on the agenda next week, Mr. Moore's report. Ms. Webb, grant request.
Thank you. New Coverdale Outreach Mission.
And that is?
Mr. Wilson?
Did they have a specific amount in mind?
They had a specific amount of $2,000.
How much?
$2,000. Their request typically is funded with human service grants, although we did not receive it in time, and that fund is done. So it's on the fall.
I'll give $200 on my account.
$200. I'll give $200 for mine as well.
Go ahead.
Second by Mr. Vincent. $200 for Wilson. $200 from Phillips. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Missipillion Art League.
Yes, mine and Sam's, I guess.
Let's give them $100 apiece, Joan.
How much are they asking for?
They're doing a fundraising program for $100. They're only asking for a contribution of $100.
$100 apiece.
Piece.
No, okay. No. Well,
$50 apiece.
$50 apiece, or
no, I'll get them all.
Or you can do a donor. It's $100 from 100 donors. I don't know if individually it's up to you. Just so you know that.
Okay, Ms. Deaver, what would you prefer?
Give them $100 each.
Okay, okay with you.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you. $100 from Mr. Wilson, $100 from Ms. Deaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
First State Community Action for a Community Cleanup Day.
And are they asking how much?
They're asking for $500 for dumpsters on the Greentop Community.
Where's Greentop Community?
That's between Ellendale and Milford.
That's $100. That's looks like me. Okay. Like $500 from my account.
I'll second it.
I have a motion for $500 from Mrs. Deaver's account for First State Community Action, second by Mr. Vincent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Millsboro Lions Club.
$250 from my account. Need that motion, please.
You got it.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Rehoboth Beach Sunrise Rotary Club.
What was it? They had a schedule or something on the back of the letter for.
Yes, you have circled 500 Lamar Hunt Scholarship.
Okay, yeah, I'll do the $500.
Second.
Motion and second, give $500 to the Rehoboth Beach Sunrise Rotary Club from Mr. Cole's account. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the Rehoboth Beach Museum. I'm sorry, Rehoboth Beach Historical Society for the museum.
$50.
Right. What do I have there? I had a.
$5,000?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to give $5,000 to the Rehoboth Beach Historical Society.
Second motion.
Motion second, give $500.
$5,000.
Wow. Rehoboth Beach Historical Society from Mr. Cole's account. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Introduction of proposed ordinances, Mr. Moore?
There are none, Mr. President.
There is no additional business to be brought before the council from the public. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for personnel pending and potential litigation.
No move.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Oh, my.